Adrian will now share our morning scripture.
Scripture is from Luke 1:26-38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a child, a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
Thank you. So this Sunday's theme is joy. But I have to confess, when I was trying to decide what I should say today, I didn't find joy the easiest thing to talk about. Because there's a lot in our world right now that is not joy. This Advent season, there's a lot else we're dealing with. There's so much sickness and death in our world right now that we are becoming numb, I think. Remember when the numbers grew so high in New York City back in the spring and it tore at our hearts every day to hear the news? There are so many more now. And yet, I confess, I'm numb to it much of the time. Every day we're setting new records, but how do we respond? COVID gets more and more personal and closer all the time, but what can we do except be careful and stay safe? And of course, as a country, we're divided, sometimes even from our own family and friends and neighbors, about how we should respond. And our country continues to be in a weird political crisis, something that most of us could not have imagined even a few months ago. So much division, so much conflict, so much that is crazy and hard to believe. And of course, we go on with our lives. Part of the numbness is our amazing human capacity to adapt and adjust and cope and function. It's a gift, but it also can make us tune out difficult things that we don't know what to do with. We still feel it, the weight of this time. The grief is with us. The anxiety is with us. The separations and social distance, the lack of hugs and touches and smiles that we can actually see. The time with people we love. We're such deeply social creatures, and we're feeling, I realize, the cumulative stress of all that has happened and keeps happening. So what does our faith offer us in this time? Particularly today, what does this scripture that is so familiar and so well known have to say to us? Well, we'll see if I've found a word that's helpful to you. This is a story at the heart of Advent, Mary and Gabriel, the Annunciation, we call it. She would have been young, presumably a teenager, a simple Galilean peasant, engaged but not yet married to Joseph the carpenter. And he was Gabriel, the messenger of God. And one day suddenly he appeared to her. "Greetings, favored one," or the old translation says, "Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you." But the scripture says she was perplexed and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. How is that for an understatement? Gabriel shows up and you're perplexed? Of course. Pondering? Absolutely. What does this mean? What is happening here? What's going on? She must have been absolutely floored. But I think this statement about perplexed and pondering is our first clue in this account that what Mary thought and what Mary felt and how Mary responded in this moment really mattered. So many times we've been shown Mary as the ideal, obedient, submissive disciple. Gentle Mary, meek and mild, the role model for faith, who sweetly said yes to having her whole life turned upside down. But this story actually gives Mary agency and a voice. Gabriel responded to the concerns he could tell she was feeling. "Don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God." But then he goes on to tell her she's going to bear a son who's going to be the Son of God. And she questions him. "How can this be? I'm a virgin." Literally in the Greek, "I do not know a man. How can I have a son?" Mary challenged Gabriel with the impossibility of what he was saying to her. She couldn't have a son, not yet. No way. And surely she must have been feeling and wondering how and why getting pregnant made her favored by God. How was this good news? Now, I know some of you are really bothered by the virgin part of this story. You're with Mary. There's no way this could happen. It's impossible. I remember years ago, in Bangladesh, one of our missionaries, who was an agricultural missionary, we got eggs from his chickens, and one day we found a worm, a live worm, in the egg. And he sat there for an hour saying, "That's a biological impossibility. There's no way the worm could have gotten in the egg without killing the chicken. That's a biological impossibility," while the little worm sat there and wiggled in the egg. I don't know what happened. We don't know what happened. I confess that because I believe that the creative energy and power of the one we call God created and sustains the universe, creates and sustains every living thing down to the subatomic level, I don't find a virgin birth that hard to swallow. But it doesn't matter where you come out on the virgin birth. What matters in this story is not the biology. What matters in this story is the point of the virgin birth was to tell us who this child was. This was a holy child, God's child, an incarnation in some amazing way of God's own self. Gabriel told her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be holy and will be called Son of God." Wow. Imagine trying to take that in. Trying to help her believe, Gabriel goes on to tell her that her relative Elizabeth, in her old age, long past childbearing years, had also become pregnant, even though everyone was sure this would never happen. "For nothing," Gabriel said, "nothing will be impossible with God." And then in the story, there was this pause. We don't know how long, but there was this moment while Mary pondered some more. How could she possibly take in what Gabriel was telling her? How could she imagine what it might mean? In the face of all that mystery and uncertainty, Mary had so much to ponder. How should she respond? It was up to Mary. She had a choice. Because we are given choices by God. Of course, some things just happen to us in life. Life happens, death happens, struggles and challenges happens. Yes, even pandemics and political craziness happens. But God does not ever coerce or force us to respond in a certain way. The faithful response, the choice to trust, is up to us. God calls, God invites, and yes, at times God challenges, but our responses are up to us. Mary paused, confronted with this momentous and amazing call from God, and the whole universe waited for her answer. Denise Leverton, looking at a number of paintings that artists have created of this moment, has written a reflection she's titled Annunciation. Some of it goes like this. We are told of her meek obedience. No one mentions courage. The engendering spirit did not enter her without consent. God waited. She was free to accept or refuse. Choice is integral to humanness. And aren't there annunciations of one sort or another in most of our lives? Some unwilling undertake great destinies and act them in pride uncomprehending. But more often, those moments when roads of light and storm open from darkness in a man or woman are turned away from in dread, in a wave of weakness, in despair, and with relief. And ordinary life continues. God does not spite us when that happens, but the gates close and the pathway vanishes. She had been a child who played and ate and slept like any other child. But perhaps, unlike others, she wept only for pity and laughed in joy, not triumph. Compassion and intelligence fused in her, indivisible. Called to a destiny more momentous than any in all of time, she didn't quail, but asked a simple, how can this be? And then gravely, courteously, took to heart the angel's reply, the astounding ministry she was offered, to bear in her womb infinite weight and lightness, to carry in hidden, finite inwardness 9 months of eternity, to contain in the slender vase of her being the sum of power, in narrow flesh the sum of light, and then bring to birth, push out into air a man-child needing like any other milk and love. But who was God? This was the moment no one speaks of, when she could still refuse, a breath unbreathed, spirit suspended, waiting. She did not cry, I cannot, I am not worthy, nor I have not the strength. And she did not submit with gritted teeth, raging and coerced. Consent illumined her. The room filled with light. Consent, courage unparalleled, opened her utterly. God waited. until Mary said yes. Let it be with me according to your will. Let it be not a passive submission, but a brave embrace of the unknown, the uncertainty, the mystery of what great Gabriel was saying to her. Yes to all that this could mean. Gossip, disgrace, judgment, accusations, possibly even danger. And that day you could be stoned to death for suddenly, unexpectedly turning up pregnant. Just like honor killings we hear about today. Remember in Matthew's gospel how it says that Joseph, being a good man, had resolved to put her away quietly until the angel came to him. But still, knowing all that, somehow Mary found the courage to say yes. Let it be with me according to your word. Yes to raising a child that she'd been told would be the Son of God. Yes to all that would someday mean for her that she could not possibly begin to imagine. Let it be as you wish. Thy will be done, Jesus, her Son, has taught us all to pray. Because, as Leverton writes in that reflection, there are annunciations of sorts in most of our lives. Moments come to us all when we are asked to say yes to the movements of God's Spirit, the opportunities, the possibilities open before us, and we have to choose. Do we dare say yes? Do we dare open ourselves to the unknown and the uncertain and the unpredictable? To give up control and embrace whatever it is the Spirit may want us to do with us and through us. To risk faith and hope in the face of the difficulties and struggles and challenges of our lives. To somehow in our own way say yes to God's Spirit. I think Advent urges us to recognize that the Spirit calls to us as the Spirit did to Mary, asking us to create space in ourselves, in our lives, in our hearts, in our very bodies for the birthings of God. Jan Richardson shared in her illuminated Advent reflection that some of us have been using online the last couple weeks. This blessing, not to one, but to many you have called. Come on the dancing wind, come from the deepest forest, come from the highest places, come from the distant lands, come from the edge of darkness, come from the depth of fear, and become the bearer of God. That is our calling, to be bearers of God, all of us. We are all called to let God's Spirit come upon us and the power of the Most High overshadow us, to open, to let go, to say yes, to live into, let it be with me according to your word, to pray and mean, thy will be done, even when it's hard. Even when it's painful, even when it's so uncertain and scary, and we feel so out of control. In the uncertainty and darkness of this strange and painful season of our lives, this Advent, we're invited to pause, to reflect, to listen for God's message coming to us. As that carol we sang at the beginning puts it, to rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. And then we are invited to respond with our lives, to let God grow in us, to give ourselves, and to trust in the hidden and mysterious workings of the Spirit in us, in our families, in our world. Let us say yes. Let us say, let it be with me according to your word. Amen.